This is the Communication and Technology Committee meeting on February 9th, 2023 at 8:30. Everybody who is necessary is here. And we are not meeting any longer in the COVID-19 restrictions or comments. So, do we have any comments from the public? We have no public. So I guess we can't have comments. Okay, that's number two. Number three, the monthly website and social media update.
We'll start with Facebook. We have the same audience that we always have, that we had last month. And then for the website update, still for the month of January, the Deer Creek Crossing Stream Gauge was our number one webpage that was looked at. We did have, I hope you can see it, last month in December, we had a total of 10,459 visits, hits to the website. This month, we had 15,000. So,
wow.
And then California, Oregon, Washington.
Are most of them still coming from California? Or?
Yeah, so looking at this next page.
Before you go there, Amelia, I'm confused. Rows 1, 2, and 3. Row 1 and 3 say Deer Creek Scott Road Crossing. Row 2 doesn't have a title.
That's because it's just they just clicked on the main page and then they clicked back on. So they didn't go any further than that main page.
Oh, is that what the forward slash means?
Mm-hmm. It just means that they just went to the main page.
Okay, so is there a reason
But why is it 3? I don't know the answer to that, Stephen.
Okay.
89, see how it's 890F589 on number 3?
Does that mean that they clicked into a hyperlink from that page?
Did they go to the hyperlink?
Potentially.
Okay, look, I'll look and see if that I can correlate that hyperlink
get
with.
Get some answers for you on that.
All right.
The Cowboys collection schedule, that makes sense. Rancho Murrieta evacuation. Oh, maybe people were looking at the evacuation plan map because of potential flooding.
No. Mm-hmm.
And that was something that was provided to us from RMA. So that's RMA's information that I'm sharing there. People are still paying the bill. Rate, fees, and structures. Everybody wants to know how much the bill is going to be, maybe. And then, happy to say, all of our friends that visited us this last month were from America.
How domestic of them.
I know.
Well, they had that balloon coming over, so they didn't need.
They didn't need to click on the website.
Yeah, China already knew, so they didn't need it.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's a comedian. Some of them are funny.
Are we?
Some of them are funny if they're not funny.
Do we have anything more to do with that?
No,
monthly website. Okay, I want to switch 4 and 5 so that we can talk about the integrated water master plan first and then the pipeline. Right. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Sure, that's awesome.
Okay. Michael is going to fill us in on where we are as far as the integrated water master plan is concerned. He had a
test.
What did you call it? A kickoff meeting.
Yesterday. We had about a 3.5 hour kickoff meeting yesterday. It was a really good meeting, and Martin Pohl was in attendance with that, him being from Improvements. Travis was there. I was there. We had two representatives from Atkins Engineering, one representative from Meadows, and then two representatives from Meadows on Zoom. Mm-hmm. So we talked about a whole myriad of things, and some of it's just housekeeping. When can we get the data, this and that. We talked about a lot about items that will affect the various models. We're going to be doing situational models for drought years, and then we're going to be doing some hydraulic modeling for the ability. And we did not do hydraulic modeling last year, and hydraulic modeling is going to tell us, you know, upon proposed build-out, the ability of the existing pipes to deliver water and the storage tanks to be able to assist with that. So we talked about updated climate change data, that there's been, I would say, climate change data has been a little bit more formalized since last we've done this. Last time we did it, we were getting UC Davis research data. It's become a little bit more state centralized and formalized because climate change is becoming more and more accepted. We've talked about potentially putting curtailments into the model, because we did have some curtailments last year. We've talked about updating proposed developments. I received the proposed tentative maps from Mr. Sullivan, so we have an accurate count of at least what is being advocated for by him.
Maps for?
For potential homes.
Where?
In Rancho Marietta.
No, I know, but where in Rancho Marietta?
Oh, in the north, in the residence.
The residence, okay.
Yeah, and the north. So
the
we're going
north around the reservoirs, the villages.
Yeah, every plant. Okay. So, well, I haven't looked at it yet, but I have received them, and we're going to be giving those to them because it is important for the model.
I know I asked you this question when we were talking, but and I'm going to ask it again probably. Do we have actual information on who owns that property now, both the residents east and west?
No, but I need to find out.
Okay.
And maybe a broader question I was going to ask, similar, Michael, is just you mentioned receiving something from Mr. Sullivan. I'm assuming he's not the only landowner.
No, there's other landowners, and so we need to reach out to Lakeview.
Rain and Barnes.
Yeah.
And I know there's several
Riverview
proposed
is kinda
developments.
You've got the proposed for Riverview already, so
right,
we need to take a look at Lakeview's. You know, we haven't heard anything from Lakeview for years, so... So we need to take a look at everything, of course.
And if I may, I'm sorry if I can regress.
No, please.
You mentioned hydraulics, and this is a question probably you and Travis. I'm not expert at by any means, but I recall from my days representing firefighters, the longer the hose and the bigger the diameter over time and distance, the lower the pressure. So how do we provide the pressure to our folks?
Well, it's actually, if it's a smaller line, you know, that will restrict flow. A larger line actually helps you. So one of the things that, if a development does get approved, one of the things that we look at is their water model. We evaluate their water model. Can our existing pipes convey this water? And if they can't, they need to upsize them. So those are the types of things that we look at. And the ability, the big one I think is going to, and Travis will probably agree with this, is storage tanks. You know, right now, I think we're at the very low minimum of available storage as far as not long-term run it through the treatment plant storage, but after it's been finished and into the distribution system, maybe you can speak to that a little
bit. And then my question really is, how does our system produce the water pressure?
So we have two different zones. We have a pressure zone, which is on the north, Second Guadalupe up towards Camino del Lago, and that is produced. We have pumps that keep that at a 65 psi pressure.
That we'll be looking at because
there's
some inherent issues with that.
And then the rest of the system is from Van Fleck and Van Fleck Tank, which is about mile and a half down the road here, and it has its elevation is 10 feet higher than the homes here, which so it's basically a gravity system.
Gravity. It provides static pressure.
Yep. So the one of my concerns from the beginning since I've took over as the chief plant operator and got kind of involved in this, is Rio Oso Tank covers a little bit over 800 homes. And during the summertime...
For how long
what?
800 homes, the tank provides water for 800
homes. Yeah,
how long?
The storage tank.
Perpetual.
The days indefinitely. Or months?
It's constantly
no, it's just it's constantly being filled. And so what happens is during the summertime, when we have irrigation, that tank is 1.2 million gallons. So it's a small tank. And during irrigation time, that tank will drop from 27 feet down to 20 feet in a matter of hours. And then we'll take most of the day to recover.
There's not as much comfort level as we'd like.
Right. And so if we're going to... My concern has always been, and what I've always brought up, is if they're going to put new homes out there, they need to provide storage tanks. Another way to store more water, because that the Rio Oso tank can't handle it much more.
And that's something that also comes along with engineering review.
Yeah. So that's just.
So will that be part of the study?
This will be part of the study, which will aid in future engineering reviews. If the county approves things, then what the next step is they have to submit. Actually, before the county approves, they have to submit all their hydraulic information. And having this hydraulic model done ahead of time, I think, will assist in that review.
And I suspect this is the very kind of conversation that members of our community will want to have about where we're going.
Most likely.
Yeah. So I think these are really appropriate questions.
Well, I think the hydraulic model aspect to the Integral Rider Marsh Plan is a helpful component that was not there last time that will be there this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Other things that we're going to be taking a look at that we discussed is manganese outbreaks. So there are times when we get manganese outbreaks, and you know, even though it occurs very infrequently, it occurs at a time when our demand is the highest. And just for your information, we have two water treatment plants on site. One water treatment plant, the newest one, is a membrane plant. And the membrane plant was put in so it could be easily expanded. You can just buy a new piece of membrane, cassette of membranes, and boom, you have more capacity. The problem is, the way it's currently configured, it cannot handle times when we have manganese. There's not enough pretreatment prior going into the membranes to be able to success. So we rely very heavily on the dinosaur next door, which is plant two, which performs very well, but it's becoming outdated, and it's getting harder and harder to get parts. So we're going to be, I'm hoping to be able to do a study next year about, you know, what do we do with plant two. But in the interim, we need to make some assumptions about some times when the capacity will be greatly reduced due to manganese outbreaks in the summer. So that's another thing that we discussed. And we have data on when it happens, so we're able to create a probabilistic model of manganese occurrence to plug into the model. So I just wanted to
bring... We have recent experience also.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
we've got years of data. 2 years ago? Yeah.
2019. Mm-hmm. Brown water everywhere.
Right.
We had manganese outcropping last year, but Travis was able to
take care of it, huh?
But it did reduce capacity.
Right. So we have the issue every summer.
Mm-hmm.
Before the membrane plant came into existence, it wasn't a big issue because the conventional plants had the pretreatment time, mm-hmm, before it hit the filters for the chemicals to oxidize it. With the membranes, because of the short stream from where we introduced the oxidizing chemical to where it hits the membranes, I can't even get 50% capacity out of that plant
when that's happening.
During the summertime when we need it the most. And we're running our workhorse at max capacity at 2 MGD. And I mean, anyone knows you don't run anything at max capacity for a long period of time. It's just not good for it, especially as old as that plant is. But it's what we have to do. And so far we've been, you know,
lucky.
We've been doing it. My staff is on it. We do a lot of in-house testing. We send testing out to labs. We've got oodles of data. It's just that if we're going to want to up the capacity of that plant one any more than one and a half, you know, one and, you know, two might even be pushing it, and four is its capacity right now.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get any pretreatment, it's not going to happen.
So we're going to take a look at that. And a lot of these model assumptions will have a capital component to them as well that will be identified.
The one thing that was talked about when the big incident happened in 2019 was how could we fix the newer plant so that it would handle the manganese. There were a couple things that were discussed, but I don't think we went very far with that.
No, and we want to delve into that next fiscal year.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. My plan, mm-hmm, just because plant two is getting so old. So we talked about that. We talked about revisiting, you know, any recent or newer data with water supply augmentation. we were able to find a report, the well report from, was it 2015? So we'll have that. That actually is post 2015, so we'll be able to put that data in that wasn't a part of the other master plan. And I haven't looked at the data yet. We're going to be looking at recycled water, potential recycled water expansions. Talked about hydraulic modeling. And then we talked about, you know, the public meetings. And so we're going to, they're going to submit to us a scope amendment to supply for four public meetings. Additionally, it wasn't in the original scope. My preference is would be that they just do it, and then if we get towards at the end of the budget, then they can do amendment to get paid later to try to get it done in the original amount. But they felt more comfortable with the amendment.
Of course
they did. So we have a tentative.
Did you talk? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we had we talked about four public meetings, and while we were on that subject, we also discussed the value of including a facilitator, hiring a facilitator to assist us getting the word out and running some of these public meetings. Someone that has experience doing this. I'm actually interviewing a couple of people that we can use to help us with that effort. And so I'm in the process of taking a look at three different facilitators to assist us. We came up with four meetings and talking about with the consultants in this. They may change slightly if our facilitator has some additional information or ideas. But currently, our thought is four meetings. First meeting, you know, basically, I think it was your idea, what is an integrated water master plan and what's the district going to be doing and what steps are going to be taken. And we'll plan. We tentatively have a plan for March 18th, Saturday, 10 to 1. I just need to make sure that our when I hire the facilitator, that they're on board for that date. Everybody else is locked in for that date. So, but I don't want to really make that super public until our facilitator is locked in.
What the I call it the blueprint. It's not really a blueprint, but It's not a template either. So I wasn't sure what we should call it. But what I was looking at. I think you were involved in this too, Steve. Was that to break down the meeting so that you had somebody to answer technical questions, questions by the engineering company in Mattis, and then a second person like yourself who would answer questions related to the community.
Yeah.
And then a third person like Travis who would be the, you know, sort of the nuts and bolts, you know, person.
He's already signed up.
Oh, yay, Travis, yay.
I was the first to jump in the pot.
Good job.
So and I think that that facilitator may assist in some kind of, but I, you know, it's items like that. And I'm wondering if we couldn't get potentially a representative from the communications community to be part of that.
Oh, yeah, we should definitely.
Oh, I intend to attend all.
And maybe,
Do we have a location for that yet, Michael?
I think you'd be here. Yeah.
Okay.
And Stephen, I think you'd be a good potential candidate for helping with that meeting if you're available.
I just put it in my calendar, and I was thinking about that very question, was whether we needed to hire a facilitator or if we might have people on board. Certainly, I have the experience and the skill set to do that, but I think that having a facilitator from outside adds an element of neutrality.
Yes,
exactly
that I think would bode well with the community. There's, as we've discussed before, there's already a level of mistrust.
Right,
and there's concern about attendees perhaps acting in a less than decorous manner. And I think a neutral facilitator, we would benefit the members of the board who attend. We would benefit from having that person redirect and steer the conversation as opposed to board members. I've actually talked to some people, including a former member of this board, who's very active with a group that has a great deal of interest in where this
mm-hmm.
goes.
Sure.
And he has assured me that the people in that group will not create a scene, if you will, that they'll you know. But I know that there's going to be some emotional exchange at some point.
And that's just part of the process.
And we're just going to have to weather that.
Yeah,
and
yeah. As long as it's not personally insulting,
exactly.
Or
right.
As long as it's not, there's no threat of violence, you know, yeah. We can handle
we
everything
have
else.
Security.
Yeah.
So on a technical point of view, will this be a special committee meeting, a special
this
board
meeting? This will
be a town
hall.
A town hall, so I don't have to.
You don't need
notice
to be
that.
No. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to be. I'm going to be at Disney World.
Yeah. We're going to be noticing it. Our facilitator is going to help us get.
But
that
it's not
out.
A Brown Act notice.
Yeah.
It's not okay. So I don't have to make an agenda, type minutes,
right,
et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And then I don't have to record the meeting, or will
we
you want the meeting recorded?
Oh, no, the meeting's going to be video recorded.
Oh, that's
is
good,
the
right.
Thought.
It's going to be video recorded.
Mr. Maybe wants it, definitely. And so we're thinking about purchasing what's known as an owl. And we can use it for other meetings. It's basically, it's kind of like Alexa, but it has four cameras. And whoever speaks, it actually focuses on the person that's speaking, so it can... We'll have an automatic way. That way we don't have to get our maid in here with all the cameras and, you know.
Yeah, good.
So, anyways, that's the thought. And so meeting number two, we're talking about, you know, there's a lot of assumptions that go into the model. And so that's going to be a very important meeting as well. This we foresaw as being a special board meeting. Where
meeting number two.
Yeah, meeting number two, where the we list all the assumptions that we're going to be, that the board will be deciding, because we're going to need the board to decide on these assumptions. The board needs to make that decision. So, but we need to have all the different assumptions that we're going to be making for the model, like how many manganese days? Do we use Clementia? Those types of things. Board needs to be able to decide that. People need to be able to see what those assumptions are going to be in the first place. You know, I'm going to ask the consultant to provide recommendations, but ultimately the board and the public needs to know what all the assumptions are so they can intelligently discuss those. So I foresee on both of these meetings, very short presentation and then opportunity to hear from the public.
Mm-hmm.
And the facilitator may have some additional ideas. You know, maybe we put up places where people to write or put stickers, you know, whatever. So that's going to be a very important meeting, because a lot of, you know, how the study is completed is based on the assumptions that you make.
When you say special meeting, do you mean...
Special board meeting.
Special board meeting.
Because so the board has to
separate,
vote.
Separate from our typical average or regular board meeting.
Yes, okay. Yes. And I know it's, you know, we're actually going to need two of them, because the board has to weigh in on both. So the first special meeting, which is the second meeting in the series, will be discuss study assumptions, hear from the public. Everybody's going to have the information ahead of time so they can think about it, form opinions, and then be able to provide their opinions to the board. Meeting number three, we envisioned an update. Okay, here's what the study looks like so far based on these assumptions, and here are the capital outlay realities of the things that the board has selected. So it's an opportunity to say, oh, well, maybe we don't want to assume this now and we want to change it one more time. So the board has an opportunity to hear from the public, and public can be able to see what's coming out and and they'll be able to provide that input, and then the board needs to make that decision on what's going to be the final. And then meeting number four is going to be the draft review, so we get to see it one more time. Okay, this is where we're at based on what the board has selected for assumptions, and we're getting any last comments before we finalize the draft.
But will there be time for the community? That was one
yes.
of the things. Okay, like 45 days or something like that?
We can make it whatever the board desires. A consultant would probably rather get it done, but, you know, we can provide, we can say, hey, we want... There was no problem with us pushing this out to March 18th for the first. They had no problem with that. So I don't imagine, you know, if you want to do 30 days in between, 45 days in between, we've got a lot of board meetings for, you know, budget things. So it's going to be a scheduling issue to begin with. So I think just natural scheduling will push it out.
Okay.
So yes, you absolutely, you know, if we want to do 45 days in between, we do 45 days. I just need to know that, mm-hmm. and we need to update their schedule so I can budget accordingly. Because I'll need to budget, if it gets pushed out the next fiscal year, I'll need to budget for some of that study being done next fiscal year. That's the only thing that I need to know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of inevitable, Michael, just based on on timing.
Where we're at now.
And we need to figure out what goes on the back end of that review period. If the draft is shared, when the draft is shared with the community.
Right.
Even though there's going to be opportunity along the line for input, I'm confident there will be additional input,
mm-hmm.
criticism, question, challenge, all of the above. And we'll need to figure out how then we wrap that up and reconcile that. That may simply be a final board meeting.
It is.
And it may be that some of the input we get during that review period would require us to ask you or Travis to go back and meet with the consultants to get clarity or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and then having time, so I think we need to be very conscious about how much. I know others have been suggesting 45 to 60 days to review that plan. Well, but you're not the only one, Linda, that I've heard that from.
Uh-huh, okay.
I think that may be a little long if we want to try to wrap things up at the back end and still have a chance to go back and answer all those questions. But let's see where we are when we get there.
I'm in no hurry.
Yeah.
So, personally, we're thinking that, you know, meeting four, which would be draft review, that would be just a normal board meeting. That'd be my thought, mm-hmm. not to add any additional special meetings. And then adopting... The meeting where we adopt it is the 5th, and if there is, you know, real reason to not adopt it at that time, then the board decides not to adopt it. They tell me to go back to the consultant, and then we provide another draft.
Okay.
So let's think that through a little bit. I was not thinking that would be a board meeting, but I suppose that the idea from your kickoff meeting then is that 4th meeting that you just described would be for the board to receive the draft,
yes.
of the master plan, and we would also make it available to the community at large at that point in time.
Before then.
And we wouldn't anticipate a lot of dialogue or questions at that point. That's why I say if we allow 30, 45, whatever number of days for public review, we're going to have to figure out some way to receive
right.
feedback, whether that's another meeting or just simply via email, but we need to be thinking it can't just provide them a chance to look at it
with no
and no way to reconcile whatever feedback.
No. My thoughts were we make the draft available for a certain number of days, and then at wherever the next board meeting falls, the board receives the draft. So everybody's had time to digest it, get their comments in order, and have ability to provide comments. Because it's not like it's a one and done.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting an opportunity to get down to the nuts and bolts, you know, for months and months and months. And you know, it'd be one thing if it was one and done. Yes, you know, we'd have. But I think, tell me your opinion. But it feels like people are able to provide comments throughout this 6, 8, 9 month process,
right.
And then by draft time. It should be, you know, take additional comments, you know, definitely mm-hmm. don't vote out until you hear the comments. And if there's
right.
something compulsory at the meeting, and then we go back.
Right.
But, I mean, it's as you guys wish, but, you know, even just with the current schedule, we're going to have to add a 5th meeting to the consultants because we're going to want one of them there even at the adoption because there might be question. Because that's another time. The 5th meeting... 5th board meeting after the draft, we've heard a lot of, you know, comments at the draft level. Then 5th meeting, before you adopt it, there's also a chance to hear additional comments. So, I don't know. It's as you guys wish. But
well, I think that by the time we get through to the fifth meeting, people should have had more than enough time to look at this, to digest it, to discuss it with their neighbors, to do whatever they need to do. And we can't be accused of not providing all the information and providing enough time to digest it. I think from the communication, I'm just going to speak for myself, maybe you too, from the communications committee point of view, tell them again, and then tell them again.
Right, and then tell them one more time.
And then tell them one more time.
And then tell them what you told them.
Yeah.
tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them.
Right.
Tell them what you told them that you told them. Yeah.
I agree with that approach. I just think because we don't know what that draft is going to look like.
Right.
We don't
right.
know. And, you know, Michael, you alluded earlier to capital, you know, implications. And
right.
I think that that's going to be a point. Once the draft is out there and it says, hey, here's your capacity, here's what you can provide, here's what you can't provide, or here's what you need to do, I think we'll get a lot of feedback at
yes.
that point.
And that's meeting three. They'll get that information before the meeting.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, and like I said, we're not locked into anything. Mm-hmm. Anytime the board can say, you know what, we've had so much interest in this, and we still have so many more questions. Let's add another meeting. I go to the consultants. We just do another amendment. It's not a big deal, but we should have some kind of a template moving forward.
Yeah.
And if this template, you know, sounds reasonable, I will approach the consultant with that to get an updated scope and amendment fee to the.
And for what it's worth, I'll just let you all know now. I will be out of the country May 11th through the 26th.
That was going to be the final vote date.
Yeah. That's probably.
Then
probably
I
not.
Guess I just dodged a bullet, didn't I?
I'd say, yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're at, and so I will. We're in the process of providing them with the information that they need to get started. You know, and all the mathematical items.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. I'm really pleased with the report on the discussion that you had. I think it's going exactly the direction I was hoping for.
Well, I appreciate the feedback as well from the communications to, you know, have more of a pulse on what people are expecting.
So
because for me, I was just like, oh, it's a scientific study. We've done and done. I'm like, okay, there's this whole group that has some questions and so on and so forth.
So if we are going to have a meeting on March
11th, 18th.
Okay. I don't know. In my mind, I've been running around a million ideas of how to get the community interested in this. And I'm sure you have too, Steve. We have banners, or we can have banners made. We have a place to put banners, so that would be something that people would see as they drove in.
Like there in front of the RMA building, where
right.
I see other
yeah.
events. I think that's a great idea.
Just find as many places as we can where we can throw stuff up, so that people can't say, "I didn't know about that."
Can we put information on their digital board that's in front of them?
I'm sure we'll be able to. Yeah.
People drive by that all the
people
time.
People drive by that.
Yeah. Too bad we don't have our own.
Well,
they don't have one right now.
Oh, did they not?
I don't know if it's been repaired yet or not, but
oh,
you know
really?
That two trees fell on it.
Yeah.
Oh my
you
gosh!
Know,
we could get our own digital board that says, "Please Perryville."
Yeah.
Sometimes
we've talked about getting our own.
Bel Air is kind enough; they've let me post when I've had.
No, that's great.
So there's some ideas.
So, Bel Air, you know, on their big digital sign.
You know, I would be if we developed a flyer. You know, I mean, something, you know, like this, I would be willing to spend some time to go to each of the businesses in our developed area over here and ask if we can post there. I think that's a good idea. I think we need to figure out a strategy for getting something in the RBT
yes.
in advance.
That was discussed by one of the facilitators.
Yeah, definitely.
And the facilitator will have a lot of ideas about that. That's part of what they do. Is
mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, okay. the pipeline will be out again before that meeting.
Right.
First
week in March.
And, you know, we have our website and we can, I mean, all the regular ways that we, Facebook, et cetera. This might be an exception where we try to get something posted on Nextdoor.
Okay.
No.
No? All right.
No, they'll, no.
And when you look at the River Valley Times that came out yesterday, you'll see the cattle waste.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There. And not the article, but the color cow waste little flyer, little
right.
information.
Right.
That was a $500 cost.
But they gave us 50%.
But they gave us 50% off to post that because it's so important that we...
So it would have been 1,000 otherwise?
No, it would have been
500.
500. Okay. They charge us 250.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth that price.
Really,
and the article
really
that she wrote was great. So yeah. I think Gail will help us.
No, I think she will too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's... She's a good reporter for us.
Some of the other possibilities, you said a flyer. I would see us possibly having outdoor at that time of the year, some outdoor maybe tables set up with in various locations, like under the at the front entrance by Laguna Joaquin, under the
gazebo.
Gazebo. Thank you, Amelia. Places around the community, the Riverview.
You know, they have those dinner truck.
Oh yeah,
Sunday nights.
Right. That's another.
Wouldn't be a bad idea to have a table sitting there with flyers for people coming there. Here, boom, 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 because they're already going there for something else.
Yeah, anywhere there's an existing event that we could add our flyers to, that would be willing to pass them out.
Okay. And so we'll keep coming up with ideas.
Sure.
We're going to talk about the pipeline and how it's working, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that as far as the next piece in the pipeline, we need to take the whole front page and basically say we're doing an integrated water plan.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, there are things that we don't have answers to, but we would put tentative date.
Well, some of the things I spoke about
March
today,
18th, we would have nailed down by the time we write the next pipeline.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, this meeting is, I forget the date, but it's next week. And I would think that the pipeline that comes out after that meeting would be the one that we would want to start putting information.
Oh, yeah. The actually, we need to start the information, you know, not next week, but probably the week after. No later than that, because we want to give plenty of notice. You know, one of the ladies I talked to, like, you got to give 4 weeks notice.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things I was going to ask.
And excuse me for interrupting, but my experience in that is there'll be those that say it's too much time. We forgot. There'll be those who say it's not enough time, but I think the facilitators are right. If we can
4 weeks is
if
good.
We can start the end of next week with noticing the March 18th meeting.
Mm-hmm. Better too much time than not enough.
I agree. Yeah,
right?
And repeat it.
Yeah. So I was hoping for an opportunity to have a representative from the communications committee to kind of meet with the facilitator if we have a volunteer. Okay, you raised your hand, Steve.
Yeah, I'll be happy to. Again, I have experience facilitating meetings.
We can't both because of Brown Act, but...
Oh, you know, right.
Yeah, no, I would volunteer and yeah.
So that's...
But Linda can still come.
I just can't talk.
Yeah, it might be... I think I'd be really wary about that as far as the Brown Act goes. I don't know if Brown Act, you know... We've had so many PRA request. I'm just really gun shy. I'm a little more conservative, but yes. So I think, you know, representative, take good notes. You represent the communications, and I think you and Linda are in lockstep.
Yeah.
So I think we are very closely aligned on this issue. Absolutely. Right.
So I'll let you know when I get a first meeting. When I make the hire, my first meeting, we'll get started. And we can switch off too. You can do one. Linda can do one. You
know. Well, and I'll start on the article for the if you're going to take this over. I'll start on the article for the pipeline.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Yeah. Okay. And then.
And I may add some to that.
Of course.
If needed.
And as soon as we're ready, I can put it on Facebook, our website, and. Right, because that would be like next week if we wanted to have a 4 week notice. And then another idea is there's no reason we can't just make like a third page flyer and hand it to everybody that comes through the gate.
Ask Kelly about that. Kelly, is that something we can potentially do?
It would just have to be for residents, obviously. We don't.
Well, it would be for the people who are coming in Because people who are residents are just going through the...
The barcode. They're using a barcode to
come
in.
Some do, but some don't. Isn't there a number that don't have that, they don't want the little sticker?
Oh, yeah. There are a few that refuse.
I can't imagine too many, but...
Yeah.
And they go through it. There's a few.
Well, or have something where they could just drive up and get it. I don't know.
Well, that's why I was thinking about the gazebo and stuff like that, places where they can get it.
Or... Most residents use the barcode.
Or we could get one of our utility guys to hand them out all day. I don't know.
At the
gates, like before they go in, like, here's a paper. I don't know. That might be seen as too aggressive. I don't know.
Oh, too bad. I'd rather be too aggressive than.
Say it again, Kelly.
You can do like a all hands on gate where everybody comes from CSD and just have like a mass day. We talk about for a couple hours.
Yeah.
That's good.
Uh-huh. All hands on deck type of thing.
We'll make Travis get in front of the cars to stop him, and then we'll just hang.
Or to Travis.
We'll get out and wash the windshield.
Yeah, I'm sitting here already thinking about, okay, I know where my safety vest and hard hat is.
Yeah. We need to make sure that we're not backing up traffic, though. That's going to be a concern.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are all good ideas that we can discuss with the facilitator on how to get the word out.
Okay.
Good.
I'm feeling very pleased with this.
Good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Anything else, Steve?
No, I'm satisfied as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you again, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the pipeline. And I'm just going to give you, I was going to bring some old issues, but the pipeline started as a piece of brown paper with, little quips in it and some basic information that came out, and it was people liked it. It was kind of short and sweet, but it wasn't necessarily terribly informative. Then there was a white version, white, black and white version, and then we came to this version, and Amelia and I have worked on this on and off a lot, and the current setup is something that we did, 2 years ago?
Okay, sure. That sounds
that's
right.
What I'm thinking, anyways.
Yeah, ish.
And we put it together and decided that we would probably try to put it in four parts. And I don't know if we're still doing that, but the front page would be current events and things that are happening that the community really needed to take notice of.
Right, most important.
Right. And then we talked about FAQs. We talked about a variety of different things that we wanted to get the community's attention with. We aren't necessarily following that. And then the next part of it was the general manager's, kind of comments or reports or whatever. And then on the third page, we were putting committee meeting highlights and special board meeting highlights and development update. And then I don't remember what we decided for the last page, but I think we decided that we would use that as things like changes to curbside waste services. So I think that the basic plan is still probably a good one. I think that we maybe need to look at, I know that I want to look at the committee meeting highlights and the board meeting highlights, particularly the committee meeting highlights. But my first question for you, Amelia, is how hard is this to do? How complicated is it? How much work does it involve for you?
I set aside a day.
Okay.
What day, bud?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Uh-huh. So maybe it's a half a day here and then a half a day the next day?
And
what I always walk around the building and ask if anybody has
something to put in.
If there's something that's burning in one of our departments that needs to get in here.
Right.
And then part of it is always part of determining what goes where has to do with how the space of the article, right?
Okay. Let's look at that under content and layout. Deadlines. When do we absolutely need to get this to our printer?
The 25th.
Okay, the 25th of any month.
And then it's out the first week with the bill of the following month, right?
Yes. And Sometimes, 9 out of 12 months, I get an article that is written by Cal Waste. Sometimes they don't have anything. I'm going to anticipate having something from Cal Waste, though, through the summer, because it's such a hot topic and a hot item right now.
Okay. So
I don't think we want to dedicate a full page to Cal Waste every month, 9 months out of 12.
No.
Not every month. But
this is a biggie because
it's
so timely.
It's a biggie because, you know, Cal Waste, there's really no other way to, I mean, they're such a small part of what we do, but it is an important aspect to everybody's daily life.
Well, and I've forgotten, was it in the pipeline? Yeah, it was. Okay, where they were talking about getting new cans to us. Okay.
Yeah, that hasn't.
And then.
Because when that happens, I think that's going to be an important time to communicate. Hey, you're getting your new cans. I mean, how are we going to switch the old cans out? How are they going to deliver the new? I mean, so that those will be, you know, important topics for people just on a logistics level.
And on the website as well.
And usually it's about that much of the paper.
Yeah. Okay.
That's dedicated to Cal Waste. Yeah.
I mean, they talk about Christmas tree pickup.
And then I have a green waste, extra green waste pickup.
Right, and then
there's never been so much action with
that. They're going to restore the heavy item pickup, right, in the
next
fiscal year?
That'll be in July. July 1st, we'll get one free a year.
Down to one.
That's correct, yes.
Because I've used mine every year.
So,
can you use it for a car?
No, you can't use it, but you can put your fridge out there. Oh. I think a refrigerator, washer, dryers. Mm-hmm.
There's a size and weight limitation, but I use it mostly for trimming my trees and shrubs.
And you have extra green waste. There's 4 months a year that has extra green waste. I think February is the last month where you can put your green waste, which is on the website.
Has to be bagged, though.
It has to be bagged.
Yeah, I'm talking about
your big stuff, yeah.
But that shouldn't be in bulky.
That's in bulky waste.
Yeah.
If it's it can be like under 5 feet, and it has to be less than an inch.
So 11 by 5 by 4, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't realize that you could use that bulky waste for those kinds of things. I thought it was reserved for.
There's a size limitation on the size of logs.
On the size of, yeah. Hmm. But still, no, in Sac County anyway, no bricks, no dirt, which is always my. I don't have the common area to throw my extra dirt.
Okay, so you would not say that putting together the pipeline from your work perspective is a big deal?
No.
Okay.
Good.
No. That's very good. And the deadline's the 25th. Okay.
I'd be crying if it was, Linda.
Just for the sake of discussion, because I'm going to assume that the front page is still going to be for important current issues.
Exactly.
Right.
The big news of the day.
Right. Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Schedules.
So I'm really interested in what the thinking is on who's going to write these, because we don't really have anybody on staff that's going to take care of that. I have been doing it, but stopped. Measure J was the last one I wrote. But I don't have a problem with it.
A lot of times the content, like the Integrated Water Master Plan, you wrote for me. Director Booth wrote.
It was not in here, and so it has.
It's right here.
It got shortened.
It's not.
How could it be any shorter? Okay.
That's what that is, and then Director Booth already had a canned Welcome, Director Booth. The New Year's Eve storm, that's going to. If there's something that was hot, like Michael wrote this was his board report. I shortened it to fit.
Yeah.
I put it in there.
I think that's
I made
very,
sure
that
everybody's
that
name got in there.
Yeah. Okay. But.
Yeah, I think it's an exception to see something of this length.
Yeah.
But those series of storms at the end of the year into the new year were of such significance. And you know, I mean, I had people from all over the country calling us and asking if we were being evacuated.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was so important to me to take the space to get everybody's name.
Yeah, that was an
in
important
there.
Thing. I think
that was really important to me to really recognize our staff.
And I, you know, I, I always am an advocate for employee recognition, and people like to see their name in writing, especially if it's something good.
And it's also good for the residents to see that, well, you know, like, hey, look, these guys are showing up, and no, you're covered.
No, that's exactly, so, yeah. Okay.
I'm still questioning or wondering who's going to determine what gets written up on the first page and who actually writes it. I mean, in some cases, it'll be you, Amelia. And in other cases, it'll be somebody from the staff, maybe.
Well, yeah, sometimes I'll ask Amelia for something, you know, special, or Travis will say, hey, we really need to get the word out for this. So, but Amelia's really the hub and really takes the lead and ownership of the pipeline.
And then, like, let's look at next month. We already said we're going to have the front page be about the Integrated Water Master Plan and communicating that with the community. Well, Michael's going to be hiring a company to facilitate that. So they're going to have write-ups, and so that we're giving the same message over and over again in all of our different avenues, it's important that I will be recycling that article that they write that'll be... Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's too bad that the communications meeting is the week that the pipeline comes out. If there was a way to propose pipeline for next week as an agenda item to communications, communications says, hey, this looks great, or can we add this?
Right.
Then we put it out.
Oh.
All you have to do is change the communication meeting.
Well, we're usually the first week. And so, like, for instance, if they...
But I've already got it out the 25th.
So that was just a thought. So if communications... Because right now, Camille comes to me like, does this look good? And I'm like...
Sure, yeah.
Check. Meeting. Check. Check. But if they have the communications committee to be able to look at it.
Well, so without conducting a meeting, if Amelia had a draft before it goes to the printer, or if she's in need for an article to fill space, could we not designate some day, you know, within the month in advance of the 25th for her to share that? You can coordinate, share it with Linda and me as the communications committee, have us take a look at it.
We need to be careful with Brown Act, but yeah. Yeah, not same email. Like, you can send it individually.
No, I can communicate with two of them, and the trick is that I have to just BCC them. Right. I can communicate with the
My
whole...
My preference is you send one email and then one email.
Very
so
good.
We don't...
Okay.
Because what happens sometimes people That's forget about, they read. Yeah.
But
wait a second. I thought that as far as the Brown Act was concerned, that the two of us could speak to each other.
No, because you're on the same committee. And you can speak to each other all day during the meeting, during the public meeting. But that is the information I've been given from our attorney.
What do you think?
The reason you only have two on a committee is because it doesn't constitute a quorum of your board.
Right. So they can talk about...
So I don't think there's any problem communicating. I think we should still be careful about the manner, and I don't have a problem with it being an individual...
Sure.
I think that's better.
...email to us individually, if that makes you feel more comfortable, Michael.
And I'm going to ask Mr. Ramos to speak on that at the next executive
session. That would be good. And
just so we're all clear on the same page, just because there have been allegations in the past, and there are PR requests all the time for emails, and I don't want us to get nailed.
Well... Again, my understanding is, as Linda just described, two of us can be anywhere, talk about anything.
See,
the minute you add a third, whether it's at the same time or separately.
Exactly.
So the two of us talk and one of us talks to a third board member on the same topic, that potentially is a problem.
That's a violation. Right. But from what I understand for committees, that's just what I've been told.
Well, so let's get clarification.
And if I'm wrong... That's great. That's going to be really convenient for us if I'm wrong.
Let's get clarification.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask Mr. Ramos to provide that clarification at the next
session. All right. Because I just think, session. I mean, that the timing just makes sense if we designate the 20th of the month or whatever for us to look at a draft before it goes to the printer. Mm-hmm. Or in advance of that, Amelia, if you need filler.
Sure.
You know,
and when you, whenever,
just reach out
I mean,
to
Linda
us individually
always,
and say, hey, do you have any ideas about what to put in the pipeline?
Yeah, and you can always... call me up and say, this is what people are talking about in the community.
Because you're already getting it from your department heads and from your GM.
Right, but but I'm not getting it from across the street, from the community, because I'm not over there.
Yeah.
So you're the, you know, ears on the street.
We want to try to make this as succinct as possible, though, because right. this is going to add time to meals, which is fine.
Right.
We want to make sure it doesn't mushroom in there.
Yeah. Well, Kelly writing citations to vendors, to people who have vendors coming in, is the big topic.
Right? Oh yeah.
Is it?
Well, yeah. That's.
Oh, I didn't. I don't know.
Actually, it's the owner is responsible for that.
Well, that's the issue that is. I was asked about it last night. A friend of mine, exactly. One of the gentlemen that spoke on my behalf back in December, says, "So, what's this deal with, you know, vendor citations?" I said, "You know, it's being talked about." I said, "I have my own questions about traffic enforcement in general."
But that vendor citation thing, that's in the RMA rules, isn't it?
Rules, and they have a compliance committee, and they have a governing docs committee, and that's agreeing from them.
And they've had hearings on it over the last 30 days. And
have they?
Yeah. But there's quite an uproar going on. And it's one of those topics that's still got a life on Nextdoor after 4 weeks.
Well, I know they've been doing a lot more traffic enforcement, a lot more.
If there's times where we don't have actual content, should we be putting something out if there's no content to put out? I mean, the only reason I'm asking this is because I'm an El Dorado Irrigation District customer up in Placerville, and I see the waterfront comes out like quarterly, it's probably one page longer than this, probably a five pager, and you have GM discussion, you have, hey, what's this new project, this new project, this new project, what's board meeting schedule. Yeah, if we don't have anything to put in, mm-hmm. I guess we always have meeting schedules, there's always that, but I don't think we should be creating content if there's no content for it.
Time. It's the only way we have.
Okay.
It's the only way we should do it.
I was just saying other water districts do it quarterly.
I don't care.
Okay.
No, I think especially now, this is not a good time to reduce communication. I'm with you, though, in terms of a fluff.
Yeah, right.
I'm not a big fan of fluff.
I agree.
Right.
There'll always be content.
Okay, and if it's two pages, it's two pages.
Well, and as we've discussed previously, I think that we could expand a little bit on the board, the meeting reports. And just on that point, Amelia, this title, January 18, special board meeting.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's what's
It was a regular board meeting.
Yes.
But I think if we have special board meetings or regular, and I think we could expand a little bit. I'll take a look at this and maybe just come up with some ideas of how we might have expanded some of these a little bit.
So we could use today as an example, mm-hmm. actually. Yeah. So you put the committee meeting in whatever goes in there, but communications and technology. Discuss communications with the community. That could be expanded to two or three sentences. We discussed
set preliminary meeting date for March 18th. Discussed series of meetings thereafter on that point.
Discuss preliminary meetings because we don't have the date yet. But
But I will by the time I get this done.
I hope so.
So
right.
Yeah.
Well, you have to.
So most of the time we won't be having subject matter that is sent to the board for vote. At least in our committee, in improvements.
A lot of times.
Security.
A lot of times, that's the big one.
And finance, those are the big ones. But we may have something, but most of the time what we do is talk about it, and it's communication. So we try to figure out how we're going to get information to the community. So when we do that, I think it just needs to be expanded a little bit, if you take a look at the things on the agenda, and today we did two things that were pretty important. We talked about the integrated water study, master plan, and we talked about the pipeline. And so each one of those should have a couple of sentences. Is that okay?
So
kind of like this.
Room allowing. So now, so
well,
So, yeah, so then there's the whole, like,
you could take out
what do I take out?
The fluff. If there's any fluff.
Okay.
Well, and I think that the sending this out to committee members will help
then
us
they can add.
Understand, uh-huh. you know, what's considered fluff and what might not be considered.
Yeah,
right. I feel like this is the smallest font I can use.
Yeah, I wouldn't go any smaller.
And
either.
then I feel like this is like because I can squish it together more the lines.
So two thoughts on that, Amelia. Two thoughts on that. And I understand you're trying to. It's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm. It's a jigsaw puzzle.
But you took a whole page here.
Yes.
Had you simply doubled or tripled the names, you would have relieved a third of that page. This could have moved over there.
Okay.
And then you would have, and then I'm not sure we need a monthly development update, quite frankly. I don't know if somebody before me has asked for that.
But. Yeah, I think maybe what we could do if there's anything special, maybe we put it in there and then we just axe it.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless there's something really groundbreaking.
There's something.
New developer in town.
Let's meet the
guy with the gold tooth.
I mean, I don't know that it's our responsibility to announce when the Circle K and the Shell open up.
No, it's not.
But
this is something I think from.
I mean, it is a community interest.
It is.
But I'm not sure it's our responsibility.
I think it's from a previous administration.
Absolutely. It started when new development started.
Again.
It started when they began putting in the Bel Air and the other commercial bits and pieces.
So I think it's clear that we just axed that.
Yep, I've got it right here.
Until we have something significant.
And the other part of that is just that nobody ever thought that we were going to have development again. And when we started putting this in, it was kind of like attention. You know, there is development going to be happening in the community. The biggest part of that was the Bel Air. The Murrieta Inn had already been done. That was the first thing that was put in over there. And then the Bel Air was the next thing, and then it's gone on from there.
So it doesn't set well with me that we have more detail in this session than we do on our committee meetings.
okay, that gives me more room too.
Yeah, okay.
But we did.
It's one of those things like, oh, I think we're supposed to do this.
Yeah.
We did it.
We appreciate the advice on that.
We did it because people had not heard anything.
Right.
Ever.
But I think we just save it for something special.
Yeah. No, I okay. mean... It's
well, and speaking of something special, maybe on a whether monthly or quarterly, maybe we do an employee highlight.
We used to do that.
I remember seeing that before.
Yeah. Okay.
Or employee of the month, or
maybe introducing some of our newer employees.
Got it.
And I just want to kind of pause the conversation for a second, and you know, give Amelia credit for, you know, being the glue here at the district and putting this out. And I think we appreciate your openness to change and adjusting.
Absolutely.
Things. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, and there's no substitute for institutional history.
Yeah.
And Amelia seems to have almost the most of it. Travis maybe has been here longer.
Travis has been here longer.
Well.
Yeah.
Who?
Our attorney helps as well.
Yeah, yeah.
At least we're all aware the bodies are buried.
Yeah, but he's retired.
Oh, no, our other attorney.
He's been
involved for years.
Okay, good.
And I have the privilege of being the one who looks stuff up and digs into all this information. And
she's
so
a good digger.
I'm a good digger. I told you, Stephen, it's my secret superpower. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps me to at least be able to connect some of the dots.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we've got good direction on this.
Okay.
And I think
we basically talked about content.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about layout/design. So I think we've done our job on this.
And then having more feedback from you will help guide
and
it.
And so
more
around the 20th,
yep,
we can expect an email from you or whatever indicating what we want to put in there. And if it's something that either one of us are writing. We want to get you the draft as soon as possible.
And then I'll send it over in an editable format. You can edit it right there if you want.
Right.
You can print it out and write on it. I'm really good at old school, you know, writing notes. I can read your writing.
I'm a consummate old school guy, but
okay. So whatever.
But I'm moving into the 20th century.
She knows that I am.
Yeah. So whatever's easiest for you, I will do.
For what it's worth, even long before I had an interest in serving on this board, I did review the pipeline every month when it came up with my bill. By contrast, I get an email from RMA with their newsletter.
Right.
And two-thirds of the time, I don't even bother to open it.
And that brings us to actually what was on the list to discuss.
Which I just had. Where did it go?
Before any of this other stuff, and I missed it. We wanted to... I've been wanting to talk about this and get the numbers so that we could present a viable reason why we want to do this. And I thought often and over again that what you do is what most people do who are looking at their bill online and they don't go to the link or they don't go to the section that says pipeline. They just don't do it. Yeah. So I got this information from Paula. Total current residential and community commercial accounts is 2859. Of those, 735 are currently not receiving the pipeline. Mm. So she gave me the cost to print and mail $21.75 pipelines.
So it's costing us about a dollar.
Yeah.
A copy.
Yeah, a little bit more, not much. So if we add those 700 and say approximately 735, she said it goes from like 722 to 750, whatever. But if we add 735 pipelines, it will cost us $220 a month. And the people who are getting the pipeline, basically, if you break it down, it costs them 30 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that whatever we're saving as far as that $220 a month is concerned is worth not having people get this in the mail. So that's my suggestion, is that we've got to start.
Especially with the issues that we have coming up.
Right.
You know, who knows how that might have affected people's opinions last year on a couple of critical issues. I don't know.
Think how hard it would be to get that list?
Paula has the list.
Paula has the list.
Sure, yeah.
How
we
hard
just
it
have
would it be to mail that
you
out.
You just do a mail merge, right?
We just add that list
to our printer and mailer.
Does the printer do the mailing?
Uh huh.
Yeah, we have a printer that does the mailing.
So they send our bill and our pipeline.
Exactly.
Just give
exactly.
them the list and
add that on.
Well, let's make it so.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Easy.
I'm very excited about
that.
I know
that,
it's like a simple little
cost,
thing.
The fewer opportunities for folks to say I didn't know.
Right.
Well, I think
even
the better.
Even if only 25% read it, that's a couple hundred.
A couple hundred.
That's worth a dollar a piece, even if it's that.
And if they speak to somebody to somebody,
So is this something that needs to go
to
somebody?
I'll just administratively make that happen.
All right. So, I think we're at the end. Any directors and staff with comments or suggestions?
I have nothing to add.
I also want to thank the committee for providing some direction, especially with the Integrated Water Master Plan and being willing to help us out with the pipeline. Much appreciated.
Thank you. I consider this a working committee in the sense that we produce something. Many of the other committees, it's not that they don't produce something, but they're discussing things and then it's going to the board for approval. They're a different kind of...
They produce capital cost bills.
Okay. There we go. All right. Any other comments? Anybody? Okay. Thank you very much. The meeting's adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.